This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Today is Friday, January 3rd, 2020. On this day in 1980, Joy Adamson, famed Austrian wildlife conservationist, was found dead by her assistant, her assassin, a former employee, looking to settle a score. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Parcast original. Today we're covering the murder of wildlife conservationist Joy Adamson by her former employee, Paul Akai. Let's go back to January 3rd, 1980, a little after dinner. Peter Mawson was fuming. He couldn't believe his boss, Joy Adamson, would accuse him of stealing from her. Sure, she paid him next to nothing for all the work he did and the long hours the work entailed, but the last thing he would ever do was steal. He wasn't foolish enough to put his job in jeopardy. For months, he'd been working for Joy at the Shaba National Reserve in Kenya as her personal assistant. He'd heard about Joy's abrasive attitude and mistreatment of her assistants and employees. But for Peter, toiling under the famous wildlife conservationist offered him the chance to work with some of the most majestic creatures in the wild, like Penny the leopard. Tonight, Joy accused Peter of a string of robberies in the camp. Peter took the tongue-lashing like he always did, with a nod and then a quick nip from the bottle, though deep down he didn't know how much more he could take. When supper ended, Joy went off on her nightly walk around camp. Peter sat in his chair, popped open his bottle of booze, and read. After about 20 minutes, the camp's cook, Kifosha, walked over to Peter, lighting the camp's lanterns. It was getting very dark, and Kifosha was getting worried. Joy's nightly walks were always brief, and she always returned on time. Why wasn't she back yet? Peter shrugged off Kifosha's concern. He joked that perhaps she had finally been eaten by lions. But Kifosha didn't find the jest funny. Peter looked at his watch. Kifosha was right. Too much time had passed. He decided to go look for her. Peter hopped into a Toyota pickup truck and made for the camp's perimeter. Joy never strayed too far from camp, so it shouldn't take long to find her. Peter drove 200 meters out of camp when something caught his eye. He stopped the car. The headlights illuminated on something lying in the road. Someone. Peter couldn't believe what he was seeing. He immediately jumped out of the pickup and ran towards the body. In shock, he gazed down at the lifeless body of his boss, Joy Adamson, her body covered in blood. He cried out to her, but Joy didn't respond. Panicked, Peter ran back to the pickup and raced back towards camp. But he was so overwhelmed that he drove into a thick section of mud. The truck got stuck. Instead of battling the mud, he abandoned it and ran back to camp. Peter immediately found Kifosha. Kifosha tried to calm him down, but Peter was out of breath and in hysterics. With barely a word between the two, Peter insisted that Kifosha follow him. The two got into Joy's station wagon, and Peter drove them outside of camp. Both men stood in silence as they looked upon Joy's mangled body. Finally, Kifosha mumbled repeatedly, "Memsahib Nakufa. Memsahib Nakufa. Memsahib is dead. Memsahib is dead." After a few minutes, Peter and Kifosha inspected Joy's body. Through the blood and gore, they found slash marks across her arms. Seeing this, they realized that Joy must have, in fact, been mauled by a lion. Guilt sank into Peter for the joke he made earlier. Knowing they couldn't just leave her in the dirt, the two men took Joy's body back to camp and wrapped it in a blanket. From there, Peter frantically drove it to Isiolo, a town about 50 miles from the camp, and sought out the police. Meanwhile, Kifosha stayed behind in case there were more lions stalking the camp. When Peter delivered Joy's body to the medical examiners, they agreed that she had been mauled by a lion. However, as they continued to inspect the body, they realized the slash marks weren't caused by a wild beast. They were caused by a large knife. Joy wasn't attacked by a lion. She was murdered. Coming up, the life of Joy Adamson and the aftermath of her murder.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, back to the story. On January 3rd, 1980, 69-year-old wildlife conservationist Joy Adamson was found dead just outside of her camp at the Shaba National Reserve in Kenya. Though it was initially believed that she was mauled by a lion, it was quickly discovered that she had, in fact, been murdered. Joy Adamson was born Frederica Victoria Gessner on January 20, 1910, in Troppau, Austria-Hungary, now known as Opava, Czech Republic. Born in Austrian austerity, she was well-educated and spent her early life studying to be a concert pianist. Joy discovered a love of animals at a young age, but it wasn't until she was married to famed British game warden George Adamson, her third husband, that she found her true calling. In 1956, George was hunting a man-eater lion when he was suddenly attacked by a lioness. After killing the lioness, he discovered her three cubs hiding behind some boulders. Guilt washed over him as he realized the lioness was simply protecting her babies. He took them back to Joy so that they could figure out what to do. Joy fell in love with the cubs, especially the runt, Elsa. Though the other two cubs were sent to a zoo in the Netherlands, Joy was allowed to keep Elsa. Together, she and George raised Elsa in captivity and miraculously taught her how to survive in the wild. Elsa the lioness would ultimately become the first successful lion to be rehabilitated back into the wild. This whole experience was chronicled in Joy's 1960 international bestseller, Born Free. The success of Born Free put Joy on the world stage of conservation. For the next 20 years, she devoted her life to wildlife conservation in Africa. Occasionally, she spent time working in the field with animals like Pippa the cheetah and Penny the leopard. But for all the good Joy did in bringing awareness to wildlife conservation, she remained a controversial figure among the Kenyan locals. Many of her employees and townspeople recall the mistreatment she dealt upon Kenyans. She paid her employees little and was constantly berating them. And on January 3rd, 1980, one former employee had had enough. Not much is known about Paul Ekai, the 17-year-old Turkana tribesman who killed Joy Adamson. What is known is that a few weeks before the murder, Joy had fired Ekai, but failed to pay him. On the night of the 3rd, Ekai went to confront Joy about what was owed. They argued. Ekai, in a fit of rage, stabbed Joy several times with a dagger known as a simi. Once the police determined that Joy's death was a homicide, they quickly interrogated her entire staff. Peter Mawson was considered a favorite suspect, given the well-known contentious relationship between him and Joy. But when police were unable to locate Ekai, suspicion quickly shifted to him. After a month-long search, Ekai was discovered in another village by chance. He was taken back to Isiolo, where he confessed to the murder. However, when his trial began a year later, in 1981, Ekai retracted his confession. Ekai claimed that he was beaten by the police and forced into confessing to the murder, but the courts didn't believe him, and on August 29, 1981, Paul Ekai was convicted of murder. Ekai was spared the death penalty because of a dispute over his age. It was unclear if Ekai was over 18 at the time of the murder. He was sentenced to prison, and the length of his incarceration was determined by what the president of Kenya saw fit. Ultimately, Ekai stayed behind bars for nearly 3 decades. On May 27, 2009, Ekai was granted presidential pardon and released from prison. In the years leading up to his release, Ekai gave contradicting accounts as to what happened the night of January 3rd. In one version, Joy shot at him and he stabbed her in self-defense. In other versions, he didn't commit the murder at all and he was simply the fall guy. The last time anyone saw Paul Ekai was in 2011 when he went to visit Joy's grave in Meru. Since then, Paul Ekai has simply vanished into history. Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. I'm Vanessa Richardson. For more information on Joy Adamson's life and death, check out the Parcast original Assassinations, which delves deeper into the story. Today in True Crime is a Parcast original. You can find more episodes of Today in True Crime and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Today in True Crime, for free from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Today in True Crime on Spotify, just open the app and type Today in True Crime in the search bar. At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime was created by Max Cutler, is a production of Cutler Media, and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Andy Waits, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Travis Clark. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Joe Guerra, with writing assistance by Maggie Admire. I'm Vanessa Richardson.